You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is No Mercy. You are either a regular watcher or listener to this broadcast, podcast, however you found this, maybe found it randomly. But there's also a possibility that today's message someone sent to you specifically. And I would encourage you, if that's the case, to hear it out. Because if they did send it to you on purpose, then there's a reason. And when we're done, you'll see the reason, whether you agree or not. At least hear it out. Mercy can be defined as compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. So God is a merciful God, but this is not going to last. And we talk, and I'm going to read you a bunch of scriptures to this effect. We see where God is merciful, but there is a point where his mercy will run out. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Now I'm going to read a ton of verses today. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And this is pretty quick in the scriptures. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So God basically saying, look, I'm not going to do this forever. I'm not going to strive with you all. I'm not going to go back and forth. And pretty quick after this, he destroys the world with a flood. Keeps 8 people and 2 of all the animals, but wipes out everybody else because the violence had become so intense. Jeremiah and Judah, you can go to Jeremiah and read this in chapter 25. Numerous warnings through the prophets continued in rebellion. God's judgment came through the Babylonian exile. They wouldn't listen, and boom, there's consequence. Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have what? Mercy. Okay, so this is all on this side of heaven. Lamentations 3:22. You say, well, that's not in my Bible. I promise you. Look in the table of contents. Lamentations is in there. And by the way, even if you don't know where Lamentations is, you might be very familiar with this verse, these verses. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You say, well, that's the kind of God I want. That's the kind of God you have. But if you push this too far, if you push the abuse too far, especially if you don't know Jesus, you will die and the wrath of God will rain down on you. Now, you say, well, you're starting to sound like some of the old preachers that tried to scare the hell out of people. I don't know where all that preaching's gone, frankly. Because it's clearly not left the scriptures. So you say, well, we want something nicer. Well, then you bring me some nice verses and we'll just sharpie out all this stuff. We'll just black highlight all the stuff you don't like. But how are you going to warn your friends? How are you going to be warned yourself if you don't see what the scripture says? Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. Now look at this. And there's some wacky stuff in the Bible. I'll give you that. Hosea 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, when the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry. Go find a prostitute to marry. For the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. We've abandoned him. So he went out, took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. Then God said to call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel. Literally name the daughter No Mercy. But I will utterly take them away. Warning after warning after warning. And even we as Christians, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, righteousness, judgment. He comes at us and says, look, this has got to go. This has got to go. This has got to go. This has got to change. Yes, I'm pouring out grace. And yes, I'm merciful. But I'm telling you, you are going to live a holy life. And if you don't, I will get your attention to bring that about. You say, well, I don't believe that. You will. Because you will either die. Now, there's also a possibility you're not really a Christian anyway. Because you see Christians being disciplined when they're out of line. And you go, wow, isn't that interesting? I'm a Christian, but I'm living like hell, and I never get disciplined. Isn't that interesting? Where are your whoopings? Where's your time out? Now, you say, well, now you're starting to trying to make us question our salvation. Let me tell you something. You better be sure you're saved, or all this applies to you. And there are certain things that come with salvation. There are indicators. There's fruit. There are works, not to get you saved, but to come out of that. And I'll read you that in a minute. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And you say, well, I just like Jesus. I just want to talk about Jesus. Okay, let's read you some Jesus. Let's do that. Matthew 10, 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Don't worry about the people who kill your body, but can't kill your soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There's a couple here today that I met, I did a funeral, and they reminded me of something I said at that funeral, and I say at most funerals that I do. At some point in the proceedings, I will say, this person is dead, and someone in this room is next. And that is true in this room. Someone in this room is next. And inadvertently, people look around and go, yeah, it's probably that old guy over there. I bury young people all the time who didn't think they were going to die. It's not coming for them yet. And in some cases, they think it's not coming for them ever. You live like there's no death. You live like there's no tomorrow. You live like there's no heaven. There's no hell. There's no God. There's no Jesus. There's no nothing but you. And then you drop dead and find out, why didn't I listen? People tried to warn me. I mocked them. I can't save you, but I have a responsibility that you cannot imagine what it feels like to warn you, to care enough about people to warn them. You say, well, if you preach these kind of messages, people won't come back. I'm not trying to get you back here. I'm trying to get you in there. You say, well, people won't like you. I want you to love him. I want you to hear his voice. I want you to sense the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, around you, convicting you of sin, telling you this is no joke. This is a warning. This is real. This is truth. This is coming. You better have an answer, because when you get there, if you don't have an answer before you get there, you will have no answer. Romans chapter 1. Now, Romans chapter 1, not very popular in our world today because we've lost our minds. Romans chapter 1, let's start with verse 18. For the wrath of God, the anger, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People say to me, what about the people who have never heard? They don't exist. The universe screams that there is God. Big G, God, one and only. Everything about his creation screams, and the only way for you to silence that screaming universe and creation is to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We choose our sin instead of respond to a Savior who is revealing himself every day, everywhere. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So you make a turn. You refuse to be thankful. You refuse to glorify him, acknowledge him as God. And then it goes dark. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Women with women. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. We've given up on these scriptures. Oh, two people, they just love each other. Bring me those verses. What are you going to do with these? Well, but here's the interpretation of that. No, it's black and white in my book. It's simple. God did not intend for women to be with women and men to be with men, period. You say, well, the culture's changed. He has not changed. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. And there's quite a list. See if this applies to our world or to me and to us. Filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. God's trying to warn us. He's trying to warn you. He said, I don't care. You will. You will care forever, but it'll be too late. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Go down to verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So their faith increases and their love for each other increases. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, I grew up, honestly, hearing people preach this stuff and read this stuff, and I've shared this before. You kind of trying to figure out, are they mad at hell, or are they just mad as hell? And unfortunately, these sermons can be preached where there's almost a gleeful satisfaction that you are going to burn in hell. I get no satisfaction from that, and neither does God. This is not about, oh, you're going to get what you deserve. We're trying to help you not get what you deserve. I'm not going to get what I deserve. Not because I'm a good guy, but because he's a good God, and he reached out to me with nail-pierced hands. And I didn't say no. He gave me faith to believe, and I believed. And I received. And my whole life has been changed. Still have struggles, still have persecution. The devil hates me worse than ever. But I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know if I drop dead right here, right now, I will be with him forever. I don't fear hell. I don't fear judgment, because Jesus paid my way. If you don't know these things, you are by yourself. You have no one. You will stand before a holy God and give an account. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. You're going to die. Unless Jesus returns, you're going to die. And if he returns and you don't get taken out when he returns, you're in big trouble. I can't even get my head around, if believers are raptured out of here, when that happens and you happen to be on the planet and you have been warned and you look around and you know immediately everyone you know that's a Christian is gone, you are in so much trouble, you have no idea. But you wouldn't listen. You're too smart. You're going to be your own God. You're going to make up your own little story, little smorgasbord of theology, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You better make sure it's in the scripture or it ain't going to fly. If it's not the truth, it's not going to work with God. This is his truth. Hebrews 10, verse 28. Hebrews 10, 28 says, anyone who has rejected Moses' law, so going back to the Old Testament, they rejected Moses' law, dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? If that's what happened to them in Moses' day, what do you think is going to happen to people who do this? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Sometimes I think I had more fear and respect for my own father than I do God. Because I knew there were certain things, if I pushed my dad too far, when I ended up in counseling, my fear was not of getting hurt. I was afraid I was going to be killed. 6'9", 270, whatever he weighed. And when he got angry, things didn't go well. That's my dad. So I managed my life accordingly and was careful not to say and do things because if it triggered him, I'd be in trouble. That's a human being, all his flaws, me, all my flaws. But you're dealing with a holy God. When he exacts vengeance, it will be in a holy way. And it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. He's not dead, he's alive, and he's not kidding. Now, my dad, on the other hand, walk in the room, throw his arms around me, kiss me, love me, mercy, grace, all that too, but there's a tension. Do not assume that your God is only certain things that you like and that he is not going to discipline. You go, well, I don't like that part. Yeah, because you won't obey. That's what it takes. I won't follow him. I won't trust him. I won't serve him, so he's to get my attention. This is precious stuff we mess with. We hit this blood bank like there's no tomorrow. Screwed up again. Let me go run down to that Jesus blood bank. Get me, get covered with that. We're using his blood like it's just water. The precious blood of Jesus. Man, it's there when you need it, but don't make yourself need it like we live. Jude, there's only one. I'm just messing with you. Jude 6 and 7, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, in other words, men with men, women with women, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Man, I'm not borderline. I beg you, do not trade your sin for hell. You say, well, I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to change my mind. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I'm going to live the way I want to live. If I want to have sex with another man and I'm a man, that's my business. If I'm a woman, have sex with another woman, that's my business. Adultery, fornicate, whatever it is, sexual immorality mentioned here. If I want to live this way, I'll live this way. That is true. You can live that way. But think about what you're trading. You're saying, God, I would rather live my life of sin, what you call evil, and end up in hell than repent of my sin and have a shot at heaven. Because you're going to have eternity to think about this. I traded this sin, this lifestyle, whatever it is you've traded over salvation, you're going to know forever that you picked it. You say, well, I don't believe that. I get that. I hear this a lot. I don't believe any of that. I'm just going to die and go back to dirt. Your body will go back to dirt. Your soul will live somewhere forever. And you're making decisions about where that is. Maybe you're not even aware of that. And I'm telling you, there is grace. There is mercy. There is forgiveness. There is an abundance of it here and now. But this is going to end. Revelation 14, 9. A lot of talk about the beast, the mark of the beast. And if you put your hand on a thing at the grocery store, is that the mark of the beast? No, it's your hand. My gosh. If you're still here for the mark of the beast, you're in big trouble. Everybody worried about, what about the mark of the beast? You will have to have screwed up so bad to make it that far. Don't worry. Unless you haven't resolved things with him his way, Jesus. Revelation 14:9, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full measure into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his image." Now you say, well, does that excite God? How could this possibly excite God? Well, then how does it get to this point? You keep saying no, and this is what you get. It's just a statement of fact. You say, but I don't want to end up there. Then don't. Repent. Change your mind. Stop saying that what you say is okay and God says it's not okay. It's not okay anymore. I can't live my way. I want to live his way. I can't save myself. Only he can save me. You say, well, how do I get in? Simple conversation with God. God, okay, I get it. I'm a sinner. I see it. I've known it. I know you're real. There's no way to ignore it. I've tried to suppress it in my sinful life, but I acknowledge that you're God and I need your forgiveness. I carry this load of sin and guilt and shame around, and I have nowhere to take it. But you say I can bring it to you. Yes, you take it to the foot of the cross. And I believe that you died on the cross, were buried and raised from the dead to forgive me of my sin, to purchase a place for me in heaven. You're offering all as a free gift. I accept. I receive it. Come live in me and through me. Change me. He'll save you. You'll miss all this. You get nothing but mercy. Why wouldn't you do that? Think about it. Why would you not say yes to Jesus? I just love my sin more. Wow, that must be some kind of special sin. I'd rather go to hell keeping my sin than repent and make heaven. Whew. As long as you get, that's your choice. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now look at verse 15. If it's the only verse you underline in your whole Bible, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, and there is no more mercy. You're gone.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Now, if I could show you the book of life today and I could flip you over to the E's and take you down to the Richards, probably more than just me, obviously, but you would find my name in the book of life. Not because I deserve it, not because I'm a good guy, not because I worked harder than anybody else. All I did was respond, receive, believe, trust him with my life, repent, change my mind. I can't save myself. Only you can save me. And looky there, just like that, my name in the book of life. Is your name in the book of life? Your name? You say, well, I don't care about that. And I keep telling you, you will. Because when all this goes down and they're about to do what it says here, cast you into the lake of fire and you're screaming at the top of your lungs, please check the book again. Check the book. There must be some mistake. I went to church. I gave money to charity. I was nice to old people. I didn't harm animals. Whatever your thing is, it's not here. And you're gone. No mercy. And you say, well, that sounds very cruel. He has not been cruel for a very, very, very long time. You're going to push it to a point where there is no more mercy, and that's on you. Now read Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. The Spirit, the bride, God himself, come. Say yes to Jesus while there's still mercy, because the day is coming where there will be no mercy.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.